Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Wow, those great words, isn't it? Jesus came and died on that cross. His resurrection meant that our death was no longer eternal, and that our belief in him and gives us a new life with him here and on earth and in heaven. It's great news. Please be seated. Welcome this morning. What am I doing? Sorry. We're dressing each other now too, so it's good. Oh dear. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome everyone this morning. My name's Rick, and I'm here to share a message on the miracle of mercy with you this morning. It's our sixth week, I think. We've been in a whole series looking at the power of the mercy of God, the power of God's grace to us as it practically applies to our lives. And this morning I want to talk to you about mercy for the family. I want to talk about how we actually apply that grace in perhaps for some of us is the most difficult area to apply grace, and that is with those closest to us in the home. You know, sometimes we think that our families should just accept us the way we are. You know, no Instagram filters, anything goes. And in some senses, that's kind of true. But it often means that we try harder, don't we, with strangers than we do with our family. Yep. And there's something a little bit NQR about when we try harder with strangers than with those that are close to us. You know, we're on our best behavior when we're out, but when we're home, you know, we can sort of trash it a little bit. I remember one of my kids going for a sleepover when they were very young, and they used to love doing that. And then the next day, the parent brought them back home and were extolling their virtues. You know, they say, wow, they're such a credit to you. You know, they're so polite. They did the dishes. They made the bed. They swept the floor. And I'm looking at them going, but this kid, this one? No. Oh, you mean the kids next door? They look so much like my kids. You just made a mistake. You've taken the wrong one. And then when the parent had gone home, I sort of waved, thank you, goodbye to everyone. So I said, so why don't you do that at home? And they looked at me and said, well, it's home. We don't have to fake it with you and mum. Oh, dear. As someone said, you know, to dwell above with saints we love, well, that will be a glory, but to dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. And I suppose that's where the mercy of God comes in to our families. You know, even the Jewish king, King David, had great trouble with his family and his family relationships. And if you happen to read the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, you'll see stories of David and his relationships with his sons went very badly. And he was caused to pray this, and I think this is the verse opening on your outline if you want to fill it in and follow along. King David prayed, Lord, I want to live a blameless life, but how I need your help, Lord, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should. That is a prayer I've prayed with gritted teeth before, but I'm sure many of us can identify with the fact that it's difficult around family. It's difficult with mums and dads and brothers and sisters, and we love them, but, you know, whatever. One of the core truths of this whole series, and this is a fill-in, is that mercy is love in action. Mercy just isn't something you feel. Mercy is something that you do. And so if we're wanting to follow Jesus, then we need to be able to add action to that understanding of mercy and actually do something about it. But as I said, it can be difficult. Most Christians are familiar with, there's a famous passage in the Christian Bible in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul, one of the great founders of the faith, was speaking to the early church. Now, I'm talking about AD 53, so this is like way back in the day. And he was talking to a church in a place called Corinth, which is near Greece, I suppose. And today, this verse you'll hear sometimes read at weddings. It's a lovely verse, but it's actually got nothing to do originally with romance or with marriage. It actually has a lot to do with how God sees us needing to love. It's actually about real love. It's got nothing really to do with marriage, although, you know, the parallels are good. This is not the maths version of love, okay? This is not the Instagram version of love. This is Paul saying that unless you love like this, you're not really loving. This is what he's saying. We're not loving as God intends for us to love if we're not loving like this verse says we are. So as I read this out to you, I want you to do a checklist. Promise not to elbow the person next to you, just inside your own brain. Think about, this is what Jesus is saying through the Apostle Paul, love should be. And see how you go. Okay, here we go. It's on your outline. Love is patient. Oops. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful or proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not irritable or easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth. Love is always supportive. Love always trusts, is always hopeful, always perseveres, and never gives up. Love never fails. It never ends. Did you score as badly on that as I did? It's like, oh dear. This is one of those verses that you really love but you wish wasn't there. Or, I don't know. Is that just me? Maybe we need a refresher course in what it means to be merciful. What do you think? We need to grab a hold of just that one four-verse passage in the Christian Bible and go, you know what, if we could just do this, it'd probably solve a lot of problems in our own life and maybe the world would be a better place. So I thought I'd just share this morning maybe three ways that we can show mercy at home, knowing that it's very difficult and I am no expert. But here's some things from the scripture that we can sort of reflect on this morning. I hope that it will be able to build your confidence towards being a more merciful person. The first point that we could learn is that showing love or mercy at home means overlooking irritations and offences. Yeah, overlooking irritations and offences. You know, we just read, love is not irritable or easily angered. Anger is a much misunderstood emotion, isn't it? And it's so often mismanaged. You know, being angry isn't necessarily a sin. I've got to come out and say that. Just being angry doesn't mean you're being sinful. Because you know, sometimes anger is an entirely appropriate response to injustice. You know, Pastor Kiap and I, particularly Kiap, does a lot of work in Papua New Guinea. And there's a lot of problem there with relational family abuse. It's almost ingrained, and it's not just the men, but there is violence against women. There's violence against children. It's really a big problem, and it causes you to get angry sometimes when you see it happen. And I think that's an appropriate response. You know, Jesus got angry. Jesus never sinned. So it's possible to be angry and not sin. But Jesus was never angry because he was offended by personal attack. And I think Jesus could speak a lot of wisdom into this generation where we self-promote and we publish on Facebook and media and Snapchat and all those other things, and we easily take offense at what someone is saying out there in the Twitter sphere. It has nothing to do with us really, but we get offended and we get offended on behalf of other people. But I'm not talking about that kind of frustration. I'm talking here about anger. Anger in the face of unrighteousness can be a loving action. You see, anger, it's not that anger is wrong. It's why we're angry and how long we're angry that is the issue, if we look at what Jesus said about it. Anger because your feelings are hurt, because someone's opinion offends you, is quite honestly just selfish. It's not loving to get offended by that. And extended anger, like, you know, we're going to stay angry a long time, and some people are really past masters at anger. They just seem to be angry all the time and hang on to things. If we extend our anger, we're going to lose perspective. You're going to build resentment, and that will lead to bitterness, sure as eggs. And that's what Jesus is trying to say to us today about how we need to deal with our anger, which is lovingly and quickly. And that will give you actually a healthier mind. Our health experts will tell you that people who remain angry are not as healthy mentally and emotionally as they could be. So to deal with that anger quickly and lovingly will actually make you a healthier person. And can I say, it usually leads to better outcomes in life. Now, we all know that to be true. Easy to say, hard to do. In the wisdom scriptures in the Jewish Bible, in a book called Proverbs, it says, love forgets mistakes. You know, if they weren't mistakes, they'd be called deliberates. Yeah, anyway. love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them separates even close friends. Many marriages are undermined by pettiness that shows itself in anger. I know this because I've watched Maths before. The Apostle Paul confirms to us time and time again as he writes that to love as Jesus loves means not being easily angered, not being offended all the time, not being easily angered. To love as Jesus loves means controlling your anger and instead acting with mercy. Well, Rick, you don't know them like I do. That's true. So why am I saying we need to act with mercy instead of being offended? Because that's what Jesus asks those who follow him to do. Simple as that. It's what God requires of us. In the wisdom scripture, the book of Proverbs, it says, it is to your glory to overlook an offense. It is to your glory when you overlook an offense. In other words, it's to your credit. And overlooking offenses and insults and affronts is actually a sign of Christian maturity. How many of you know that people grow old, but not everybody grows up? Isn't that true? Here's the thing. If you're always getting your feelings hurt, and you can think about how you react, if you're always getting your feelings hurt, how can I say this gently? You need to grow up. You need to grow up and deal with those offenses and hurts in a better way. Now, I'm not saying that the offense that you've seen or that was coming towards you isn't real. I'm not saying that. And I'm not excusing the offender in any way. And please hear me, I'm not referring to, you know, people who suffer physical and mental abuse. I'm just referring to hurt feelings. You know what I mean? Is that just taking offense on behalf of whatever the popular social media thing is in the moment, or how people dress or how they look? I'm not talking about physical abuse or mental abuse. I'm talking about hurt feelings. But mercy and loving like Jesus asks us to overlook hurt feelings. Asks us to overlook the offense. Isn't that outrageous? Why would you overlook what that horrible person said about me or did to me? Why would you do that? It's outrageous. But that is the love of Jesus. And we cannot say that we stand in the love of Jesus and not apply the love of Jesus, not only to our own lives, but to others. Because that's what Jesus would want us to do. But oh, we get so offended and so judgy. Well, you know, what's happening to them? They're not getting punished. That's not a loving reaction. That's an offended reaction. It's not where Jesus wants us to dwell at all. And I think in this day and age, if you don't apply mercy to offences, you're always going to be unhappy. You think, you know, it'll make you happy to feel aggrieved and to see action taken on that other person, but it won't. It will eat you up. One last thought on this point before I move on. The scripture says, the Christian scripture, or the Apostle Paul writes again, it's on your outline, he says, be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Marcy. Oh, sorry, that's not in there. I wrote that as a footnote. It says, look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out and dress the same. Basically, that's what it's saying there. You know, I well remember the very first argument that Marcy and I had after we were married. Now, it was about 2 years in, so I thought we weren't doing too bad. I don't remember what we argued about, but I remember being extremely upset. My feelings were hurt. She's my wife. And she spoke mean to me. Now, you have to know that I grew up in a family where the learned response was to run away from conflict and, you know, to avoid, right? So we lived in a two-story little townhouse kind of place. And so I got up, grabbed my pillow, and went downstairs and slept on the couch like the real man that I was. And I'm just getting comfortable and mulling over how mean she was to me when I hear this voice singing softly in the background. If you leave me, can I come too? Which, if you don't know, is a 1980s mental as anything song. Was very popular in the day. And I'm going, can't stay angry. Although making up's a lot of fun, I've got to tell you that too. So. La, 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 la. Right, moving on. Focus. I want to just read you some of the other words of that song, which I just find quite remarkable. It says, words were exchanged last night. It's such a shame. I never thought we'd do it. Don't let it happen again, because I couldn't take it. Once was quite enough. It's easy to forgive and harder to forget. So if you leave me, can I come too? Great words, aren't they? Obviously, this is a person who's experienced the pain and hurt that I have. Now, I must be doing all right because I've been married over 40 years and still there, and we even dress similar these days, so we do love each other. But yeah, overlooking irritations and offences, you know, is so important. The second thing about how can we apply mercy in the home is being kind even when they don't deserve it. All right, that's it, I'm out of here, I heard some of you say quietly. But applying mercy, particularly in the home, means being kind even when they don't deserve it. Now, in every family group, there are VDPs. Okay, there are some in my wider family, I'm sure in your family. What are VDPs? They're very draining people. Very draining people. Don't look at them. I just saw people looking. Please don't look at the very draining person sitting next to you. Just keep your eyes front, all right? What kind of people are very draining people? Well, they can be very, very difficult people. You know, they can be and act irresponsibly. They can act immaturely. They can be demanding, or they can be selfish and self-centered. They're just difficult to deal with because they're constantly in that zone. Or they can be very destructive people. They can be aggressive or rude. They can be abusive in relationships sometimes, or even manipulative. And then there's very disappointing people. They can be disloyal. They can be gossips. They break their promises. They're not dependable. How are we to deal with this kind of VDP? How do we apply mercy to this? And again, I'm not talking about, you know, domestic violence. I'm talking about being offended what we think. Well, the Apostle Paul says we need to love them. Apostle Paul says we need to love them. We read just before, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is always supportive. There are no caveats there. Like, it's not kind, supportive, except for that person, that horrible person that I know, and then God knows, and he's kind of exempt, and I'm putting him on a special list. There's none of that kind of caveat to what the Apostle Paul says Jesus requires of us as his followers. We simply need to learn to apply mercy. Tough call, though, isn't it? It is a tough call. And here's the good news, though. If we follow Jesus, we don't have to apply mercy in our own strength. And when we have to, with will, we have to make a decision to apply mercy, that is true. We're not going to be hypnotized and overcome. We have to actually come to that point of wanting to apply mercy. And we've got to do that so that we acknowledge, firstly, the love and mercy we've received from Jesus. unless we acknowledge that we've received the love and mercy of God, we'll have nothing to give other people. But if we can accept that we have received love and mercy, then that love can flow through us out to others. Even if we feel we don't have love and mercy in our lives, it can flow out because of what Christ has put in us. And then it's up to us to work to understand where that other person is coming from. I've been blessed by many friends who've understood the upbringing I had and have helped me to respond entirely differently these days than running away from conflict, but standing in the moment and thinking it through and talking it out. And I know it probably doesn't sound much, but that was huge for me, and I'm thankful I have friends who have helped me get there. So we do need to understand each other and to try and figure out. But even if we can't figure it out, Jesus says you can at least be kind. You know, sometimes, rarely, we need to put distance between ourselves and other people for self-protection. I get that. As I said, domestic violence is not talked about in this message this morning. But can I say that putting distance between people is usually a rare thing? Even though violence is common, it's still fairly rare when you add up all the human relationships that there are. So whilst that might happen very rarely, most of the time our offences are not about that. Most of the time our offences are about something entirely different. Opinions that we have that get confronted, or, you know, pride that gets affected. We constantly find difficult people are the usual people around us. And the Bible says it's on us to care. Jesus says it's your responsibility to care, not someone else's responsibility. You don't get exempted from this if you follow Jesus. You know, the Bible says, again, in the wisdom scripture, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Whenever you're able. Whenever. And it says, don't be hateful to people just because they're hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and everyone else. I don't know, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But it's hard to read it and go, yeah, I'm going to do that. When we get easily offended because our opinions conflict. Mercy means, and this will maybe shock you and you might need to think about this, mercy means not giving people what they deserve, but giving them what they don't deserve. You should write that down because I don't think it's on your outline. Mercy is not giving people what they deserve. It's giving them what they don't deserve. None of us deserves mercy, but Christ gave it to us, and if we're living in the light of that love, we need to pass that mercy on to others. I want to share with you a story of Patricia, and those of you who are in life groups will may be familiar with this story, or maybe you'll come across it this week in your studies. Patricia says, I grew up in a home in a military family, living in multiple states across the country and even overseas. I had two alcoholic parents where there was no love shown, no kindness expressed. Instead of feeling valued as a little girl, I experienced both mental and physical abuse. My mother and I never had a warm mother-daughter relationship as I grew up. Looking back, I wonder if it was because my mum was raised by her aunt, who did not know how to demonstrate love either and seemed to have a lack of feeling. See how she's straight away applying that empathy, trying to understand, you know, what would make her mother act like that. Then she says, 8 years ago, I received a call from my cousin who lived near my mother, and she told me that my mother was not being taken care of and was losing weight. I told my husband, and he said, we have to bring her home here to take care of her. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, this is not a lovable person. I don't want her back in my life. But we made the merciful choice to be kind to someone who had been very unkind to me, and to let the past go. About a year and a half ago, my mother had a mild stroke which had rapidly advanced her Alzheimer's. We continued to care for her, though, at home, even though I was having a battle with breast cancer and was under chemotherapy and radiation myself. In the series, The Miracle of Mercy, And she's in Rick Warren's church, so she's reflecting. Pastor Rick said, mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. And it's not a feeling, but a choice to be kind, even to people who have never been kind to you. And that is not easy, she says. Now, you might expect that my kindness towards my mother would have softened her heart and given her the ability to show love back. But with my aging mother's deteriorating mental and physical health, she is not able to love me back and never expressed it. I've learnt mercy is not dependent on the other person's response to it. I choose to continue to show kindness and love to her because it's the right thing to do. And although I've never received the love I needed from her, I am grateful that she gave birth to me and that I am alive because of her, so at least I can honour her for that. She finishes by saying, I cannot sugarcoat this. Mercy is difficult and inconvenient, but revenge and retaliation against those who hurt never makes you happy. And a great testimony. A struggle with mercy, but mercy nonetheless. Being kind, even when people don't deserve it. The third point, and we'll finish with this, is that showing mercy in the home does mean letting go of past hurts. Letting go of past hurts. We read earlier this morning, love keeps no record of wrongs. No record of wrongs. You know, a guy once said he got home really late one night from a boys' night out and his wife went hysterical. And his mates went, you mean hysterical? He goes, no, historical. She went and told me every wrong thing I'd ever done. It's a little joke, but you'll catch up. If mercy is love in action, don't keep records and don't rehearse the wrong. You know, we talk about heartburn, we bring things up. You know, it keeps coming back, repeating on us. Well, offences are like that. If we keep letting the offence repeat, we're going to get relational heartburn. And it will do damage to your relationship. You know, we need to learn to let the past go. Here's a handy phrase. Again, you can write it down somewhere. Don't repeat it, delete it. Don't repeat it, delete it. The Apostle Paul said, and again, this is part of what we read earlier today, love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, and in my experience, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And I wonder, you know, if that offended person was able to let go of that past hurt, as justified, you know, or as real as that hurt and offence might have been, if they could let that go, whether their life would be different now, whether they wouldn't be the sort of person who would snap back and hurt others, because that's what happens, sure as eggs. Grudges are past hurts that some people use as ammunition. It's true. We must learn, if we're going to live in the love of Jesus, to let go past hurts. We've got to be like Elsa in Frozen. You know, let it go, let it go. I wrote this in my journal this week. When you're holding grudges and reacting to the past, you'll struggle with the present and you won't be able to look to the future. You'll be anchored in your offence. When we can't let go of the past, we're going to lose perspective on now, and you won't even be able to think about the hope that God has for you in the future. And you'll carry that hurt with you, and it will damage you. Three things that show the love of God's mercy in the home. You can breathe now. There are no more points. Just those three things. My prayer for you this week, for myself, for all of us is that if we have received the love of Jesus and the mercy, maybe we need to reflect on that a little this week, because we all know ourselves. Think of the mercy that God gave us when we didn't deserve it. His love and mercy came instantly to us. When it comes to those that are closest to us in the home or our friendship groups, we really need to learn to apply mercy and kindness rather than get stuck in, you know, and give them a piece of our mind, because most of us can't afford to lose any of it. I'm done giving away pieces of my mind. There's nothing left. Is that a good thing? To think about what Jesus did for us and pass that on. And, you know, let Jesus clear away that slate of offense so you can connect better with now and you can be moving into the future that God wants for you and died for you to have. Miracle of mercy. Easy to say, harder to do. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you came and you released us from having to hold on to offenses and to keep records of wrongs. We no longer have to do that because we have your love and mercy in our hearts. We can release the offense of opinions and harsh words. Just let them go and not repay hate with hate. Father, we thank you for your mercy to us. Help us to sit in that this week and make us very mindful of it so that we are changed by your mercy and love, and that our outward focus is not one of taking offense easily and being angered about every little thing, every cause that's out there. It's just letting opinions sit where they want, but allowing our reactions to be loving and merciful regardless. We ask this in Jesus' name. As sons and daughters of God, we ask. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.